The instructions for today will now include instructions on mindfulness of thinking, of thoughts. Not so that you can think better, but rather so that you can include the world of thinking in the field of attention in a way that supports you to be present, awake, so you see clearly what's happening without being caught up in what's happening. One of the important pieces of advice I received about thinking was the instruction in meditation not to be bothered by my thinking. And I learned from that when I was bothered or antagonistic towards it or saw thinking as a problem, it paradoxically had me thinking more. It would agitate my mind. And I learned that there are times when thinking can be in the background, and I can kind of know there's thoughts, but I basically leave it there in the background, not bothered by it, not really involved so much. In the foreground of attention, I keep my breathing or my body or my mindfulness of other things. But when thinking becomes predominant or becomes repetitive or becomes an issue in practice, then rather than being in conflict with it and struggling with it, the instructions are to make it the practice. Bring mindfulness to the thinking in an open, generous way, feeling your thoughts, sensing thinking. So I'll do a little guided meditation around this morning. So to begin, feeling your body sitting here in space, on your chair or your cushion. Perhaps feeling the support that the chair and the cushion provides your weight. And then feel the uprightness, the straightness of your torso. Gently taking some deeper breaths, and as you exhale, relax and soften the body. As you exhale, softening any ways in which you are braced against life, letting your breath return to normal. And if it's possible, taking a few moments to set your body at ease. Or if your body's uneasy in any way, be easy with that. Ease up. It's okay. And see if you can set your heart at ease. Release your heart, relax, soften. Let your emotional body be easy, at ease. Or if it's not at ease, Perhaps you can be easy with that. Easing up a little bit. It's okay. And then see if you can set your mind at ease. Maybe as you exhale, you can let go of some of your thoughts and concerns. Let them float away in a relaxed mind. And there's some ways that you're uneasy in your mind. Perhaps you can be easy with that. Ease up. It's okay. And perhaps so far in the retreat you've mostly been sitting here practicing with your breathing, letting go of your thoughts when they arise. For a little while now, let go of the focus on your breathing or on anything else except turning your attention now to be mindful of your thinking. You have permission to think. It doesn't matter what you think about, but become clearly aware that thinking's occurring. As if you're looking, thinking right in the eye and saying, I see you. Or as if awareness is compassionate hands that comes from underneath and holds the thinking mind. No need to let go of thoughts. If your thinking fades away or hides as you're looking at it, gently stay and present in that area. If you think in words, perhaps there's a place where the inner loudspeaker speaks the words. Stay there and feel that area. If you think more in images, perhaps there's a place where the images are projected. Stay there. Relax. Be ready for the next thought, the next image, so you can see it clearly. There are different kinds of thinking. There's discursive thinking, where you're having a conversation or telling a story or there can also be very subtle commentary about what your present moment experience is. Or there can be very subtle thoughts, almost not thoughts at all. Simple recognition of what's happening. And as you observe your thinking, what do you notice about thinking that's different than the content? Can you notice the energy? Are your thoughts energetic? Strong energy or weak energy behind them? Do they feel, the thinking feel like a solid, strong event, or is it subtle and weak, floating through? What's the tone of the inner voice or the inner images? Is it gentle? Is it harsh? Is it forceful or is it hesitant? Is it anxious or is it confident? Settle back and observe the phenomena of thinking when it is occurring. And what happens to your thinking when you observe it, you're aware of it in an open, hopefully relaxed way? You have permission to think, but you observe it and see it clearly. And then now, rather than watching, observing your thinking, see if you can feel your way in to the thinking muscle. Is there any tension or pressure, hardness, energy in your body, your head, somewhere that seems connected to your thinking? If thinking is subtle, maybe not. Sometimes people can feel that thinking muscle is tired, weary or exhausted from a lifetime of thinking. And as you exhale a few times, see if you can relax the thinking muscle. soften, open up. When I relax my thinking muscle, I have the image of the mind spreading out wide, flat, like a still lake surface. So now you can return to your breathing, gently, calmly. Allow your breathing to return to awareness. So you receive the experience of breathing. And now you can continue with your practice of the breath or your basic practice of mindfulness. But if thinking becomes predominant or becomes compelling, or see if you can bring this simple awareness of thinking into the practice. If thoughts seem kind of easy to let go of, you can let go of them. But if they don't let go easily, give yourself permission to think and observe and be present. Cultivate the ability to be the observer of thinking, the feeler of the process of thinking. And when you've done that a little while, then you can begin again with your breathing. Here. Here at this time, at this place. So thinking is an important part of human life. Some people think in images, some in words. The ways in which we understand ourselves and the world around us. And it's, you know, easy to, I think, understand why there can be a lot of momentum, a lot of interest in our thoughts. And so in meditation, some people will practice letting go of thoughts and just coming back and being with the breath, their primary object. And sometimes that works very nicely because it slowly, over time, it begins to decrease, weaken the pull of thinking, the force of thinking. And just things quiet down, and thins out over time. Sometimes by letting go, sometimes by having a mind that's stronger, a concentration that's stronger on the breath, stronger than the tendency to think. Some people find that when they finally get serious about really staying with the breath, that their ability to stay with the breath is stronger than the tendency to go into thoughts. And what's needed is a little more strength, a little more oomph. Let me just stay here, stick. Other people, and maybe most people, that's sooner or later, doing mindfulness practice, becomes important not to let go of thinking or not to override thinking, but to include it as part of the practice. To turn the attention to it and be mindful of thinking is happening. In all these three ways, the idea is not to be in conflict with thoughts, not to make the thoughts into a problem, because then you're just stirring the water, agitating the mind more. But it can be very interesting to turn towards the phenomena of thinking and take it into account, be mindful of it, because there might be something there that needs acknowledgement, needs attention. And if you keep ignoring it or keep letting go, something there is kind of that needs attention is not getting it. Only if it gets attention can something settle. And sometimes it might be simple as a really clear acknowledgement of thinking. And to help with that acknowledgement, many people find it helpful to use a very simple mental note around thinking. Even just the word, no, thinking. Or if it's really obvious what you're thinking about, it can be a word like planning or remembering, fantasy. And sometimes the clear kind of label is a kind of clear acknowledgement. Some things, when they get acknowledged clearly, they're not so insistent anymore. It's like they've been seen, and that's what they needed. But sometimes there's other aspects of thinking that needs acknowledgement. And it's seldom the content. Generally, in Vipassana practice, we de-emphasize the role or the importance of what the content of what we're thinking about in favor of the process, the event, the phenomena of thinking itself. And so the example I'd like to give now is, you know, if I hold this striker in my hand, because a striker is really important, I could be focusing on the striker, how important it is and how important it is to keep it away from Andrea and because it is my striker for this sitting. But I could also, rather than focusing on the striker and all that the striker means and who else might want it, I could focus on what it's like to grasp it and hold it. And then I feel that you know, my hand is clenched, it hurts, it's getting numb. And I feel, I don't know if I need to hold it that tight. So I can release a little bit. So the content here, in a sense, would be the striker. The process would be how I'm holding it. So with thinking, we often focus on the content, and we can grip it quite strongly, be very reactive to it. But if you step back and say, how am I thinking? What's thinking like? And you might notice tension and pressure and holding and insistence or strong interest or fascination or horror, anxiety. The variety of kind of ways in which we're thinking, the how we're thinking, the emotional quality of the thinking. And sometimes that's what needs acknowledgement, be seen. Because if we don't acknowledge and see that, then it just keeps going and producing more thoughts. So one of the very common phenomena for many people, not always, but it's common enough, is that people spend a lot of time planning in meditation. It's often connected to anxiety, some fear about something, apprehension. And so what needs attention is the fear, not the thinking so much, but the fear that's producing or that's prompting those kinds of thoughts. Or there might be underneath certain kind of thinking, anger or resentment or desire, fascination, all kinds of things. And then sometimes it's a physical quality that goes along with thinking. You can almost feel like, sometimes, you know, you can see it, feel it in yourself, you know. People really think hard, they furrow their eyebrows and, you know, their eyes get kind of narrow and tight. They really try to think hard about something, or their certain muscles in the body, maybe the jaw or the shoulders or the neck get tight. Or perhaps there's some kind of pressure, tension inside the skull, in the brain area perhaps. Maybe there's more blood flowing or something. And you can feel that pressure, that tension. And to relax the thinking muscle, to relax that is a way, then there's not less juice, there's less energy then for the thinking. Because some of the energy for thinking is because of all that tension that's connected to it. And in some of the instructions the Buddha gave for meditation, he talked about relaxing the mental formations. And the mental formations are connected to this idea of the thinking muscles, the activity that gets all wound up to think. To relax the mental formations, the thinking muscle. So if it's helpful, sometimes it's useful to kind of turn towards thinking and be mindful of in this way. If it seems like what I said is too much instruction around it, it's enough just to let go and come back to your breath over and over again. The breath is a great friend for the practice. But to start opening up and including the world of thinking as part of meditation is very helpful for daily life, one's life, because you can then begin tracking, understanding, and relating to that part of our life in a more wise way, useful way, as we go along. Are there any questions about those instructions or working with thoughts as part of the practice? Yes?
So in allowing myself to think a little bit more this time, I noticed a series of kind of memories that were related to an emotion that's been kind of ongoing throughout this retreat. And it felt important to go through those memories, but it also was getting into the content of the thought a little bit. So I'm just curious about, I don't know whether it, like the practice would be to follow the memories or to kind of just acknowledge them and let them go.
And so the question is about memories that seem connected to an emotion that's been recurrent through the retreat. And when she had permission now to think, she kind of let the thoughts, memories kind of be there. And she's wondering whether it's important to let memories just kind of go and follow them sometimes, if that's the momentum of the mind. Occasionally it might be okay to do that. I think what's more important is not the memories, but the underlying emotion that's connected to it. And so it might be more useful to actually dip down into that, and maybe that's what needs attention, not the memories. It does happen on retreats that, I think it happens more to people who are new to retreats and new to meditation, but it can happen anytime, that long forgotten memories will come up and reappear. And I think of it as part of the purification process or resolving or clarification process that meditation involves. And it's not a mistake that we have memories come up. I often think of it as just a healthy thing that they appear. But my understanding and my attitude towards memories that arise in meditation is once the memory has arisen, what had to happen is done. And so we don't actually have to continue thinking the memories or be involved or follow them anymore. Just the fact that they arose, something was released. And then you can go back to the breath or let go of it and start again. Maybe the same memories come up again because some other aspect needs to be released. But I find it just useful just to acknowledge them, realize it's part of the process, and then let go or come back, because the more you can come back and be present and let go, the more you sense you're open to the next possibility. But if you're following a memory and involved in it, the possibilities narrow and close down. You're just like on one track now. So I don't generally think it's useful to follow it, but maybe outside of retreat, outside of meditation, it might be interesting to do that. Yes?
I had an Normally, I limit my body awareness to both my shoulders as a way of telling myself that thinking is bad in meditation. So when I thought I was thinking about thinking, actually what happened was I brought my body awareness up into my head area, and it was very soothing, because if it's hard, it's like an echo chamber in there. But when it softened, it was actually easier to tamp out the phone.
Great, yes, beautiful. So sometimes by not including this world of thinking as part of the meditation practice, there might be some kind of pressure or tension or hardness, which is actually making the whole meditation more difficult because we're ignoring it, right? One more.
So when you asked us to look at our thoughts, of course, that was probably the first time I wasn't able to see many thoughts. And I'm wondering if focusing on the breath is difficult, is this trick of watching your thinking effective as a concentration focus? Just watch this thing that is normally generating all these thoughts and focusing on that. Is that a concentration thing?
Yeah. Okay. The only thing I would prefer a different wording is I wouldn't use the word trick. It's just an approach of being mindful. So yes, you can sit there quietly and watch thinking, or watch the place where you think in this way, and see if that settles you or helps open up the awareness, strengthen the awareness. After doing it for a while, it might be okay to go back to the breathing. Perhaps go back to the breathing informed by the openness or the subtleness or the quietness that has occurred because of your being present for thinking. So if thinking quiets down in that process, there's a quiet. To bring that quietness with you to be with the breath, or as Andrea said, breathe with. Maybe you can start stay with focusing on that place where you're thinking, and then kind of gently bring in the breath from the back door, from the side, just start as an anchor, as a support, as a way of staying more present, and then eventually you maybe go fully into the breath. Okay. So I hope that you have a nice day. For those for walking meditation, when there's a lot of thinking, what I like to do is stop in my tracks, close my eyes, and take stock. Just notice what's going on, acknowledge the thinking, do this whole process of checking in for a while, and then once I'm no longer caught so much in the thinking, then to start the walking again. The other thing, when there's thinking and walking meditation that I like doing, is set my sights, just come to be on one end of my walking path, set my sight at the 30 feet, whatever it is in front of me, and say, now for these 30 steps, 20 steps, I'm going to try to really be there for each step and not get involved in my thinking. And make, for those 20, 30 steps, I've had more success doing that than I have trying to do it present for the whole walking period, short. And then when I get to the other side and turn around, then I set the resolve again. And that seems to help me sometimes. So I hope you enjoy your day. I don't think there's any announcements today. And we do have a round of practice discussions with you. Those that we saw, they were seen 2 days ago, and they'll see the other one of us today. And I'm in room 100, and Andrea's in room 1. Thank you.